Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Randy Harris, Executive Director of Great Conversations. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You're welcome. Well, what is Great Conversations and how long has it been around?
Great Conversations is a civil, informed, respectful community dialogue process where people come together and actually have face-to-face conversation on sometimes challenging issues, but always with respect and consideration for one another, and it moves towards collaborative actions that can be acted on by the community.
What have been some of the great conversations you've had?
Well, we've had lots of different conversations. We've done over 700 of them in the last 5.5 years. So we've talked about a lot of stuff. We've talked about immigration, education, religion, healthcare, all kinds of social justice issues as well. Just kind of current, contemporary issues like surveillance and science issues as well.
What conversation really has stood out?
Well, thank you for asking, Emily. We just finished a 4-part series of conversations in the community called Working Together, Moving Forward. And this was spawned from community desire to come together and talk about social concerns within the community following the recent election. That was a fascinating set of dialogues. We heard from people across the social spectrum, age, race, religion, political persuasion, gender. It was a very inclusive, very sweeping dialogue, and people shared some of their concerns.
What was one of the major concerns?
Right now, the primary concern is that the realization that there's been a spike in reported harassment incidents. And we live in a community that is quite warm and capable of coming together to respond to challenges. So what we have is a community that decides to be certain to take an active role in a situation where we might encounter some kind of harassment of somebody based on age, race, religion, gender, sexual identity. It was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal gathering of the community.
And where do most of your great conversations take place, and about how many people attend?
We had to put a cap on each conversation this time of 20 participants. If you have more than 20 people in a setting like that, it isn't really a dialogue anymore. It becomes something else. So we capped them at 20, and we held one at the synagogue. We held one at Brannigan Library in the Roadrunner Room. We held one at Peace Lutheran Church and one at Counseling Las Cruces. Everybody knows that there's quite a bit of stress and tension in communities across the country right now. We want to just give people an opportunity to talk about the things that are concerning them and start to come up with some solutions. And people will come together and talk about things if you create the setting.
And how do they find out about this? Do you have a website?
We have a Facebook page. It's called the Great Conversations Las Cruces. It's a Facebook page, and on that you can people can go and learn about upcoming pending conversations, as well as get information and reviews and outcomes of recent or previous conversations as well.
Well, you talked about that you had 4 specific dialogues.
Yes.
4-part series, working together, moving forward. What else about this that really brought a lot of concern to the community?
Well, thank you for asking. One of the objectives of the conversation was to give people an opportunity to air those concerns. Just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. So we discovered that a lot of people just tend to isolate themselves, even away from their friends and family, because talking about politics or other challenging issues has become very uncomfortable, and it produces often a lot of hostility and divisiveness and vitriol. So having an opportunity to come together like this was a great opportunity for people to talk about things like human and civil rights, education, immigration, safety, healthcare issues, senior issues, issues surrounding women and gender, LGBTQ, environment, homelessness, religious profiling, discrimination, law enforcement, income inequality, international relationships, economics. These were some of the topics that, you know, folks in our community are thinking about and paying attention to and having a little bit of difficulty in terms of what's going to happen with the new administration.
And what accomplishments have come out of some of these conversations, and who attends?
Great. Thank you for asking. During this series of dialogues, this is an issue, if you will, that that affects all of us. You know, if there is an impact in healthcare, it will affect us all. If there's an impact in immigration, it will affect us all. None of us are exempt, you know, from the ripple effects of some of these things that have been suggested in the run-up to the election. So, who attends? In this set of conversations, we had folks from across the spectrum of race, religion, gender, sexual identity, socioeconomics. You know, we had honest, respectful, and sometimes uncomfortable dialogue with Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, non-theists, young, old, black, white, brown, and community members, as well as straight, gay, trans, gender non-identifying people, conservatives, liberals, independents, social justice advocates, people who are politically active, and people who perhaps have not been politically active. It's a broad representation of our community, and it's probably fairly reflective of most communities, perhaps with the exception of our issues as a border community and immigration.
So this is a place where people can vent. They can express their ideas without feeling persecuted, without feeling or actually having to take any action.
And yes, people can speak what they're thinking and feeling, as long as it's done in a respectful manner. You know, we do have some rules in the conversation. You know, there's no allowance for violence or the threat of violence or any indication or implication of violence, you know, expressed or implied is the way we suggest it, as well as there is no allowance for hate speech. There's no allowance for discriminatory speech focused on anyone for age, race, gender, political, religion, etc. And this creates a setting where it's safe for all of us to sit down. We had folks who, you know, there's a tendency in the human experience, it seems, to want to dump everybody into one box that fits this description. You know, you are a conservative, therefore all of these other things are true about you. Well, or a liberal or a progressive, therefore all of these things are true about you. It just isn't so. You know, we had folks in there in the conversations who, you know, were had previously voted for Barack Obama and this time voted for Donald Trump. And they didn't vote for Donald Trump because, you know, they think that racism or, you know, Islamophobia or homophobia is a great thing. No, they voted because, like many folks who identify as liberals, want to see change in the system. Now, is this the best way? I don't know. Perhaps they don't know. People have the opportunity in the conversation to express those different kinds of perspectives without fear of being assaulted or shouted down or bullied by other people. Now, what this does for a community is to help us remember or realize that we're all in this together. You know, you're my neighbor. You may think X about a certain issue. I may think Y. Okay. If we can retrieve the capacity or learn the capacity to sit down and listen to each other. So, Emily, why do you think that? Well, I think that because this, that, or the other. And I say, okay, good. And you say, Randy, why do you think what you think? And I said, well, I think this. Then we can ask each other questions. Okay, so if that were accurate, if your perspective on that is accurate, then what about this? We can talk to each other like civil, mature adults and, not only reap the benefits of that for ourselves, but also for we can demonstrate it to our families and the people around us and in the rest of the community.
So for the coming year, what conversations do you have planned?
Right now, what we're looking at is after the first of the year to begin to schedule some more conversations along these lines. There were a couple of things that probably the primary thing that came out of these conversations that is actionable was the realization that there's been a spike in reported harassment incidents. We don't want to see that. We have a remarkable community here, and we don't want to see that. However, should we encounter that, either here or perhaps, in travel somewhere else, how do we respond? How do we address something like that in a way that is safe for everybody involved? Now, there are different kinds of trainings. There's a local crisis intervention training that is a very valuable training, and we're looking into the possibility of following through with that. But that capacity for response seems to be the primary thing that came out of the conversations at this time, because as we said before, there are a great many unknowns.
So we're looking forward to 2017 with some new great conversations. And is there a fee to attend?
No, we'll sometimes ask if people can make a little donation. If we're working with an organization or an agency that's funded, yes, we'll sometimes ask them to offer us some support. But the Great Conversation is not funded by corporate foundations or any of that business. This is really a very genuine grassroots. We don't have offices and staffs. We just bring people together to do this kind of work. And there are many ways to approach social challenges. For example, our good friends at the ACLU held a couple of meetings during that same week and discovered some information about what the community has experienced. So what we'd like to be able to do is collaborate, integrated response capacity, if you will, with other organizations, local organizations and social justice organizations and law enforcement and city and county and health department, and to try and everybody pull together, work together. Because, when decisions and responses are determined in silos, there's a whole bunch of stuff that gets missed. And we need to be, I think this last 18 months has pretty clearly demonstrated to most of us, we need to work together.
And you can attend some of these great conversations, find out more when the next one will be happening. Visit Facebook.
Visit the Great Conversation Las Cruces Facebook page.
And I really appreciate you, Randy Harris, for being a bridge to the community. You definitely have been. Executive Director of Great Conversations Las Cruces.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.